Courtney and I love building things with shipping containers. From our shipping container home that we lived in to our buried off-grid power system, we love them for their portability and instant weather-tight storage. So when we set off to build our budget-minded equipment storage shed, I knew I wanted to incorporate containers into the design. With a set of secondhand roof trusses, used shipping containers, and lumber that we milled ourselves, I'm hoping to be into this project for less than $15,000. Step one was to prep the building site. Our property is steep and rocky, so I had my work cut out for me. After roughing in the pad with a massive 30-ton excavator we rented over the summer, it was time to get things level and flat. I was able to get a bunch of fill dirt from behind our shop while simultaneously digging our shallow well. Go check that video out when you're done watching this one. As usual, our army dump truck was the star of the show, and I moved literal tons of dirt to get things level. It was really neat getting to use the water from our new shallow well to help with compaction. I used the vibratory roller on the skid steer to get things nice and flat, and then it was finally time to take delivery of our first shipping container. With how difficult it was in the past to get a 20-foot container delivered, I was pretty worried about what it was going to be like to get this 40-foot high cube up here. But our massive road project from the summer paid off, and he was able to drive it all the way to our house.
I cannot believe that we just got a 40-foot container up to our house.
The delivery driver backed it most of the way down the hill, and then it was up to Courtney and I to get it the rest of the way there. We were able to use the skid steer and the excavator to drag it into place. Then we took delivery of the second container and drug it into place as well. That's when this project really started to feel real, and it was the motivation that I needed to double down and get this thing cranking. Once the containers were perfectly leveled and spaced, I welded some rebar in between to help hold them in place. I wanted to add some natural light to the containers, so I decided to add some windows. I started welding up metal window frames made out of square tubing. The windows will then slide into these frames. Once the window frames were done, it was time to cut the openings into the containers. I used an angle grinder, measured twice, and I hoped that I only needed to cut once.
My plan totally worked. That was awesome.
On our shipping container house, I fully welded the window frames, but that took forever. So on this project, I decided to just stitch weld around the perimeter. In hindsight, this was a mistake because we did end up with a few small leaks. I sprayed the frames with a bare metal primer and then caulked the perimeter to seal the gap between the frame and the container. Then I pressure washed the containers to prep them for paint. And once it was dry, it was time to install the windows. I caulked the perimeter and inserted the windows from the inside. To save money, we used in-stock new construction windows from our local hardware store. This isn't how windows are typically installed, but it means that I didn't have to add any additional trim on the outside to cover the window flange. The downside is that we're relying on a caulk joint now for waterproofing, so again, not ideal for a home, but for a workshop, it should be fine. And man, does it look good. Then I called Courtney in for help to paint the containers. We decided to try painting the window frames to help make things look a little more custom. She started by taping off the glass on the windows. Then she sprayed a special vinyl primer on the frames to help prep the windows for paint. We're using a water-based, direct-to-metal exterior paint intended for metal surfaces in the color suitable brown. In the past, we've had good luck spraying this paint through an airless sprayer, and so that's what we decided to do again. It's pretty crazy how quickly this process happens. You just drop the pickup in a can of paint and start spraying. Faster than I can keep up with Courtney, she sprays the paint on the containers, and before we know it, we're done. These containers weren't perfect, but we did ask for ones with minimal dents and working doors. This was important to us because painting them will showcase every single dent and blemish. Spraying the windows actually went really well. Courtney was careful to not spray too thick of a coat to try to avoid runs. 6 gallons of paint later, and what a transformation. The results were incredible, and we now had 2 matching containers. Painting the windows seems like it was a success, and it looks so awesome to have them color matched to the building rather than white. Next up, it was time to finally get started on the roof structure. We ended up with 1 extra roof truss, so I thought it would be cool to add a front overhang section. This is going to prevent the snow from piling up in front of the container doors and give us a little more covered parking space. I headed back up to the shop and got to work making some metal brackets to support that overhang. Then I welded those brackets directly to the container roof. During our milling project, we had a few large trees that made some beautiful beams, and it's so rewarding to be putting those to good use. Courtney hoisted them up into place, and I was relieved to see that they actually fit in my brackets. I through bolted the beams to the brackets and sucked everything tight. Then we got to do the really satisfying task of removing the plastic from the windows, and wow, it turn out great. We'll see how well they hold up in the long term, but it was a really inexpensive way to make the workshop look a little more custom. If this project wasn't already a little unconventional, things really take a turn here. I wanted to space the center roof structure up to get a little taller clear span inside of the building. That meant building a small pony wall that the trusses will sit on top of to raise them up. I built the wall in smaller sections to make things more manageable. As I stood each section up, I through bolted it into the container roof. I didn't have washers, so I had to go back and add those later. The second section of the pony wall got bolted to our roof beam extensions, and the first half of our framing was done. Once we had the second container pony wall built, it was time to start setting trusses. Whoa! We've only hung trusses one other time in our lives, and we were a little nervous. It feels like there's a lot that can go wrong. But with Cordy in the excavator and me on ground duty, we got to work hoisting the first truss into place. I used a rope to help guide and steer it while Courtney swung it around. On that pony wall we built, I used a double stud design, but I left one stud taller than the other. That leaves a ledge for the truss to sit on and a taller stud to attach the heel of the truss to. It's sort of like a modified post frame style. That meant that Courtney could set each truss down and I could quickly attach it to the pony wall to secure it into place. After setting four of the trusses, I decided that it was time to square everything off and brace it before placing any more. And so I built a questionable work platform for the skid steer and put all of my trust into Courtney to shuttle me around. It's a good thing that she's a great equipment operator. I added the first roof purlin and attached each truss to it at the proper spacing. Then I worked my way down and added a few more purlins. That locked the top of the trusses in at the right spacing, but the bottom still had a twist going on, so we added a rat run. The rat run then locked the bottom of the trusses into the proper spacing. At this point, things were looking better, but the whole section was not square or plumb. I used ratchet straps to pull everything into place and then added diagonal bracing to lock it down. Then we got to work setting the next set of trusses. At this point, we had the hang of things and we really started cruising. It was such a fun transformation seeing the roof come to life. The last two trusses were more difficult to attach because I didn't have that pony wall stud sticking up. Courtney held the truss steady and I added a couple of roof purlins from the previously attached truss to hold the new truss into place. And before we knew it, we had 12 trusses set and secured. It was really starting to look like a building. But at this point, I was starting to feel like we might lose the race to beat winter, so we called in some reinforcements to help with the roof. We added fascia and some stained cedar boards to the front truss to dress things up and make the entire building look a lot more finished. At this point, it was time to conquer my fear of heights and start putting the metal roof on. We used the skid steer to get things as close as possible and try to minimize the number of times we have to go up and down the ladders. I harnessed up and headed onto the roof. I squared off my leading edge and started screwing down the first sheet of metal. Working one section at a time, we would square off the sheet, then mark each hole before attaching it with self-tapping screws. I personally don't like pre-drilling the stack of metal. It does save time, but I find that as we slide each sheet off, the metal from drilling the holes scratches the sheet below. And to my surprise, even though we're on a 512 pitch roof, a level actually works great to make a straight line to mark the screw holes. And then a discovery. It turns out that I actually squared off our first sheet to a fascia board that wasn't square. Whoops. And that meant that we had to cheat each sheet down a little bit to get things back straight. Having the containers to walk on are like permanent scaffolding, and it made this entire process so much easier and safer. Then we ran out of a container to stand on, so it was up to me to get the last two sheets up. We ripped the last sheet widthwise with metal shears. The exposed edge doesn't need to be perfect because it will get covered with gable cap. Now we really had a system down, and the second half of the roof metal went up in just a few hours. I couldn't believe that in one day we went from rough framing to a functional covered space. The original plan was to add secondary roof structures over both of the containers. But then, in the middle of the night, I woke up realizing that we needed a roof deck. With the A-team around for a few more days, we got to work framing out our rooftop deck. During our lumber milling project, we mostly made 2x6 boards, but some of the larger trees were turned into 2x8s, and these would make perfect floor joists for the deck. I attached a tow plate directly to the roof container with screws and adhesive. On the opposite side, we attached a ledger board to the pony wall that holds up the main roof. This gave us a really convenient way to attach deck joists to the container. I like to use screws for construction projects like this. These are structural framing screws that are rated for this application. Screwing every deck board down took a long time, but I think it was worth it to lock everything down solid. It was so satisfying to watch the deck boards go down on our rooftop deck. These deck boards were a waste material during our lumber milling project that we decided to turn into random length and width 1x boards. Perfect for a DIY deck. To add some dimension and to make the best use of some longer 2x8s that I had, I decided to cantilever out the center section of the deck. I also ran the boards at a diagonal. This just gave it some more dimension and character because, after all, this is a fun project. On the diagonal section, I was struggling to cut the boards to the right length. Then I realized that I could just leave the boards long. I drew a straight line and I cut them all at once with the miter saw. Courtney was able to help me on the last section, and before we knew it, our deck was done. I've got some big plans for this deck that include a bridge, mountain bike jumps, and maybe even a train? With the deck done, it was time to do the last roof section. I really wanted to use up our milled lumber, but that meant getting a little creative with the framing. I laminated 2x6s, cut out our 312 roof pitch onto the pony wall to create a vertical load path for our rafters to sit on. Ideally, the rafters would have been 2x8s, but since I used all of those up on the deck, I made mini roof trusses out of 2x6s, and they should be plenty for our snow load requirements. While I worked on the roof purlins and fascia, Courtney put the last row of screws onto our upper roof metal. We definitely should have stained the fascia before putting it up, but I was way too excited to stop working, and Courtney had to pay the price for that one. Thanks, Courtney. Before I covered up my convenient scaffolding, also known as the container roof, I had to stop procrastinating and finish the metal trim on the main roof structure. Equipped with dry shoes and all the courage I could muster, I headed up onto the roof for hopefully the last time. After screwing in my fall protection, I got to work installing the gable trim. The metal trim gets expensive fast on a building like this, so we were really trying to optimize cost versus finished look. I think the gable trim really finished out the front of the building and made things look a lot more polished. The last step on the main roof was a ridge cap. That went on without any hassle, and man, things were looking really good up here. Reflecting on my design and the use of the scissor trusses, I was concerned about the possibility of the containers moving outward and splitting the trusses apart. I decided to add a metal cross brace to the back of the building to prevent this from happening, and I was feeling much better about my design. The only thing left to do at this point was the metal on the secondary roof. After a few hairy moments of getting the metal up there, it was time to lay out the sheets. We've heard some contradicting advice about whether the roofing screws should be on the peak or on the flat. Our metal manufacturer specifies that screws should be on the flat. It's the only way to ensure that the screw is installed tight. And with the neoprene washer under the screw head, there are no concerns with leaks. I'm really glad that we went with two roof pitches instead of one large one. It meant a taller clear span in the center, it made the shorter roof metal pieces way easier to work with, it gave us that permanent scaffolding over the top of the containers when we did the tall roof, and I think that the taller roof stepping down onto the shorter one looks really nice. With the cherry on top, it was officially time to call this building done. 1 month and $15,000 later, we had ourselves a 1,760 square foot covered equipment storage shed that would keep everything we own out of the weather this winter. I am thrilled at how this turned out, and I can't wait to transform the inside of the containers into my... Oh wait, that's a secret for now. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.